The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 19th, 2014, and we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best, and our motto is we don't try, we succeed. Today is Wednesday, and every other week we have Bud Jeffries on, and we've got him on again tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about his new book, Maximum Functional Mass. And we're also going to get into some heavy leg work. This all coincides with a lot of the stuff that he has in this book. And I've been reading through it the last 45 minutes, and got a wealth of knowledge sitting in there, Bud. So, Bud, welcome to Motivation Muscle. And, you know, why don't you give everybody out there a little synopsis of this book? Man, if you can't get big off this book and functional, as you say, I don't think there's any hope for you at this point. And I would hate to say that to anybody.
Well, you know, that's kind of the whole idea of the book, man, is to, you know, this is one of my first real concentrations on how to truly build muscle size. But the subtitle of the book is how to build maximum mass, how to build functional mass that works in the real world. Has to be actually functional, you know what I'm saying? And how to do it drug-free now, okay? Let me qualify. I qualified that in the book. I don't know if you got a chance to read that part or whatever.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay, yep. And I think you and I are kind of on the same page about drugs or whatever. I'm lifetime drug-free. However, okay, I know lots of guys who use, lots of guys who don't use. My problem with it is the fact that it misleads people about what's possible or what you should be doing. And my real problem with that is, listen, it's your choice. You're a grown-up. You get to make your own decision. I'm not going to call you an evil human being unless you sell drugs to children. Then I'm going to call you an evil human being. Mm-hmm. That's my whole thing. And I say that to say I know some drug-free guys who are awesome humans, and I know some guys who use roids who I actually respect because they're incredible people. And I know some people on the other side of the issue who are the exact opposite. I know people who use who I think are scum, and I know people who don't use who I think are scum. And the reality is training, hard training, you know, is still going to be the deal one way or the other. And I'm obviously from the old school about that whole thing. So I said that to say I don't wish to alienate anybody about that because I do know people who I actually do respect as human beings. At the same time, the average person in the world and the average hardcore guy ain't taking any drugs of any kind, and you don't need them. You don't have to have them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You can get absolutely amazing mass and strength in that whole thing, and you, it's so much simpler than most people make it, and so much more doable than most people make it. I think most of the things in the training world, we make mountains out of molehills on little things like sets and reps, and we're stuck on the fact that you need huge volumes of work to get it done. And here's the big playoff for that, okay, or the big payoff there, all right? You absolutely – you can get bigger by doing more total work. You're either doing that by lifting heavier, or you're going to do more total work of the same amount of weight, one way or the other. You can either do it by doing it faster or do it by doing more total actual work or you know, some combination of that whole thing. Yep. It has to be done to get bigger, to get stronger, to get all those things. But what you can't do is overburden the body – with massive, massive reams of nothing but heavy lifting all the time if you're going to be truly functional in the rest of the world. There's a lot of things that people neglect in training that, again, aren't complicated. Flexibility is not complicated. Mobility is not complicated. Agility is not complicated. Multiple different types of strength, even besides barbells, is not complicated. It just, you just have to pick the correct dosage and then actually put in the work and do the real thing.
Well, you know what the whole thing is too, Bud, where you hit it was, and this goes on with a lot of the shows lately, it's the commitment and the hard work. You know, you've been around enough athletes, and I have been too. You could have an elite athlete if they don't have a good work ethic. Yeah, their talent might bring them so far, but then they are going to hit the brick wall, and that's going to be either the make or break point at that, you know, in their career.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing now. I mean, at least, you know, you've been around when you went around with the kids with the bullying and all that. But what I want to say in that context is this. I'm sure they're learning from you. I mean, they see what you've done and what you can do. That's so important that, you know, as I always say, lead by example. And it's like, I don't think you can ever get enough of hearing, you know, you got to have some goals. And I don't care if you're 5 years old. They might not be hearing all of it, but it's still resonating with them. Because you know that when you're later, you remember things like that. But goals, you know, hard work, determination, perseverance, and especially you've got to have that word commitment in everything you do.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you can't do that as a younger guy, how the hell do you think you're going to pull anything off when you're supposedly an adult in that concrete jungle business world where it's just cut my throat, you know, you're not going to be able to survive. So these things that you put out and anybody else that wants to deal with this type of physicality is there's more to than just lifting weights and, you know, running with a yoke and yanking a stone off the ground and all that. This teaches you lifelong lessons if you let it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing I agree with you totally too, it's like I know some coaches in high school football and this and that, and you'll hear from them. I mean, these guys don't want to work hard. They want to take the latest supplement, okay? Right. Now, how long do you think you're going to last on the field with the latest supplement? Seriously. And you and I both know, read the packaging on them, the shit that's in it. I'd be afraid to eat. Some of that stuff they use for NO2, I was looking at some labels, and I'm not going to name names. I don't even know what the hell the shit was they were calling it. And it was like, I wouldn't take anything. I didn't know what I was, you know, putting into my body pretty much.
Oh, absolutely. You got to be smart about that. And like, here's the thing about that, all right? That's directly, I address that directly in the book.
Yes.
I don't recommend a single supplement.
Nope.
In the book.
You recommend food. That's what you were talking about here. Real food.
That's right. I don't recommend, and I'll tell you why. Because I believe in if you're looking at the reality of sustainability of a lifetime, if you're looking at the reality of functionality in the real world, if you're able to do your workout because you're taking a superhuman, basically, over-the-counter speed as a pre-workout to get jacked up, yep. Then something ain't right. Now, if you hit a little coffee or caffeine or whatever on the show, that's okay. I got no problems with that. I got no problems with realistic, time-tested herbal supplements that are helpful to people. You know, I got no problem with some basic vitamins and minerals, and I think of stuff like that. But when I just think most people so miss the point of simplicity and eat real food. They get, you know, because that's the thing that bothers me the most about that's the first thing that kids ask. They only ask, what work should I do? They ask, what should I take or what should I be on?
Yep.
And that's not going to get the job done. They don't understand it. They also don't understand that most of the guys, you know, even the top-end dogs, okay, who are sponsored by supplement companies, they didn't do the first 5 years of their career with supplements and all that stuff. And, you know, most of their modern guys now, they tell you to take protein immediately or whatever. That's fine. They did with me when I was a kid. But it was so simple compared to what it is today. It's nothing. And the reality is, it's just freaking food. I have not taken a protein supplement now in, probably 8 or 10 years.
Have you?
I still
take powder.
You know what? If you think it helps, it does fine or whatever. You know, that's okay. If it's a basic thing that actually has real protein in it and
that's not
the deal, I got no problems with that.
Yep.
But like,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
But protein with 85 other things and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, come on. I have a problem with if you have legitimate advances in what you can do. For instance, I have a couple of buddies who are experimenting now with a new kind of brain-based supplementation that helps you, you know, be a little clearer or your memory sharper. I got no problem with that either. That's legitimate supplementation.
Yep.
But most protein powders, you got to be super, super careful, man. Most protein powders are just flat-out trash.
Yeah, they're junk. I take there's a guy I can get it from in California where I can buy it in bulk that he doesn't advertise. Now, I thought Iron Mine was always good, and there's a Rose Acres farm that's strictly egg, and it's all, you know, they're grass-fed, everything. And usually I do it like the old way, like Rio Blair did it or Garanda, where I mix it with either half and half or heavy cream. And normally it'd be like maybe raw milk in with it, or I'll make like a pudding. That's how I eat. I don't eat whey. I don't do anything. I still stay with either straight egg or milk and egg. Yeah. I feel it's the best, and I know there's nothing in it because I've dealt with these people for 15 years now.
Right.
And I know what I'm getting, but I won't. No, if you go into a, and I don't want to give them any friggin' plug. You go into a GNC, go look at the labels. And here's another thing, everybody. Look at the labels real well, because the majority of stuff has soy in it. All right? And I've been shocked, because I like liver tablets. I know people are in and out with that. Sometimes I go on a binge with them for a while, and then I don't take them for a year. Well, I can't think of who it was, what company it was. It was one of the big ones, too. I always look at labels now because of that. I look, and I'm going down to see what's in it, you know, and by God, the last ingredient, and all it is, you know, bovine liver, supposedly. Right. They got soy in it now, man.
Oh, wow.
Soy and friggin' liver tablets. I'm like, no friggin' way. So I haven't seen any. There's one other company I don't want. Enzymatic Therapy is a great company. It's liquid liver. It's been around. That's all doctor stuff. That's probably the only thing I'll ever take. But can you believe, man, something as old as liver, it's been around forever, bodybuilders, weightlifters have taken. It's got soy in it now.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Well, and anything that's, you know, make a buck, dude, that's not even, I mean, you know, soy's dirt cheap. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
It's cheap, you know, what are you going to do? I mean. Yeah.
But it's just the idea that the stuff is shit for you, too.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that's what we're dealing with here now. No, thank you. That's the end of that. So, you know, there's another thing I don't have to buy anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, I just wanted to mention that, because when we're talking supplements, it just pisses me off about that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's easy to get jacked up about that, man, because you never, you know, especially when you kind of come from the old school. I mean, like, I remember when GNC was really first kind of coming out, you know what I'm saying? They had, like, you know, five different types of protein powder, and now there's like 100, and it's all, you know, I mean,
it's all junk.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that I've seen in there that was decent, what the hell is his last name? I can't, he's had it out. J-Rob, he's got, a whey, but it's, you know, it's all grass fed and everything.
Right.
And I mean, if I had to take it in a pinch and I couldn't get the others, that probably be the only one I'd even think about. But you know something, I probably wouldn't even do that because, you know, I can eat enough grass. I could eat a pound and a half of grass fed beef a day and every other thing I want to go with it. And that would satisfy me fine. I don't need to have anything else. I mean, I know food wise what to eat, but the only reason why I'll do stuff like that is if I'm outside and I get done lifting and I want something quick just to kind of guzzle down, that's how I look at
that's
it.
That's fine. Yeah. I got no issues with that kind of a thing. If it's a time issue for you or that kind of thing. But
yeah.
Here's what I think for most people. And there's actually a point I made in the book, okay?
Yep.
Number one, truth is you can eat it. I think you have to look at supplements as exactly what they are. They are supplements. Field food, not a replacement. Yep. And reality is most of us just can, without any problems, eat enough real food to get whatever size we want. And probably most of us eat more than we should, you know, especially if you count the stuff that really ain't great for you. So, you know, I mean, and I'm not talking about necessarily even just big guys doing that. I'm talking about everybody, period. You know, you might make the case that there are certain guys who – you know, who really, really don't have the appetite, who maybe need it or whatever. But I mean, that's a real different issue on that whole thing. You're talking about 99% of the people in the world that does not apply to. And I've been on both sides.
Yep.
And I, honest to God, don't believe that you make gains faster by using them.
No, I
just
don't
think
so.
I think you do. I you know, maybe, you know, that's an opinion. And my other thing with that is, okay, I think there has to be an efficiency level there. Steve Justin made a point to me about this one time, and it kind of carries some weight there. He said, I don't want to eat food that I feel like I'm 100% reliant on that food for strength. I want to build muscle that has that strength and then burns the food for energy, but I don't want to build muscle that has that innate energy in itself that's efficient mm-hmm. with the way the cells work, versus the only way I feel like I've got enough oomph to do anything is by taking a huge, huge extra amount of food. And I don't, you know, now, okay, and I'm not saying that. I'm coming from the big eater perspective on that.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
But I'm not saying, you know, even from the big eater perspective, okay, let's not go crazy.
mm-hmm.
And
no,
and
right. No,
build that in a reliance to it's again, every one of those things, if you're not careful, sort of becomes kind of a crutch. I don't really have a good workout today because I missed my protein shake. Well,
exactly.
That don't really cut it, especially in my opinion of what's truly functional or actually works in the real world. Because you know what, there are going to be days you don't get your protein shake, or maybe you're deployed in Iraq and you don't get a protein shake on a regular basis, or you know, whatever. You know, I mean.
Yep. No, you're right, because when you're look at it, is the whole point of that stuff with me in any way is look, I don't always have it every day. I know when I'm going to if I want to go out, like tomorrow night, it's going to be 20 degrees out when I go out and train. All right. I know you, I'm sure you know this from being, you know, any type of cold. When you're training heavy, number one, you're going to have a good appetite 9 times out of 10, unless you just went overboard and you know, you get that sick feeling and you don't want to eat. All right. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. But number two, I got to tell you, when I'm out there just slamming shit all over the place, especially tomorrow night is barrel deadlifting, so I'm going to be going real hard, traps, the neck, the whole thing I've talked about with you the last few weeks. Right. The cold alone, bud, is going to make me want to eat every stone out there off the driveway. I mean, I'm going to be hungry, man, and it's like if I can take something to plug the hole temporarily, then I can come in and make some real food and sit down and eat. But a lot of times, too, I kind of like to diffuse a little bit out there.
Right.
And I could end up sitting out there maybe for a half an hour after I'm done. And I know you got a little window there. I usually think it's about an hour window maybe to get what you need in, maybe an hour and a half. I don't like even going that long. So, you know, I'll just sit there. The other night it was snowing out. I was sitting out there with a protein drink. It was 21 degrees out with no shirt on. Right. Freezing my ass off. I didn't give a shit. But what the point I'm trying to make is it's a quick fix for me and it's done.
Yeah.
That's it. And if I don't have one the rest of the week, then I don't have one, you know? That's it.
No, you know, right situation, right time is fine. Or
yeah.
Now, I'll tell you somewhere I've gone with this that is really going to be outside the box as far as most people with mass in relation to food. Okay.
Yeah.
If I have a truly challenging workout, and, you know, I've kind of come to a realization about that, about where I want to be on those workouts, okay?
Yep.
I went through a period of time when I was a kid when I wanted to be on the verge of dead at the end of a workout.
Yep.
And I don't want to be on that verge anymore. Now,
nope.
I might be on the close side. I might be only a set or two away from that. But I don't.
Yep.
And here's the thing I think is a big thing for most of us in the real world as far as efficiency and long term, and even especially far as being able to, you know, I think when you start talking about the term functional,
yep.
Okay, if you are so trashed from today that you can't walk tomorrow,
yeah.
How functional are you? You know what I mean?
None.
So there's a difference between truly hard training and training to the point where you cannot function. That's a difference. And I want to be hard, but I really most of the day – now, don't get me wrong. I'll do some challenge stuff that I know is going to leave me, you know, not functional for a day or two. But it's just because I, you know, want to go that far once in a while.
Right.
But it's a rare thing. And I think that's a smarter way to look at intensity on most things is I want to go hard – but I want to pull back a little bit before the point of can't get up, can't walk, can't function,
yep.
That kind of thing.
And as they say, you want to leave a little in the tank, but, you know, we just hit that a few minutes back. You remember anything that – I mean, if you read any of the comic book muscle mags, any of that shit out there, mm-hmm. you know one thing. The idea they always try to sell you is overtrain. I mean, they don't call it that, but, you know – think about it. I don't care if you're taking the juice or what. You're going to tell me you can do 35 sets of arms for 10 reps. Are you biceps? Are you freaking kidding me? But this all relates back to the marketing of supplements.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you look at – I mean, I could even go to a GNC and they have all those comic books of theirs out there. You know, everybody in those books, if they're not anorexic, they're on some kind of stuff, okay? I mean, I've been around this a long time. I know what it is, unless they're just a freak of nature. And all that stuff that we were just talking about here where, you know, leave a little in the tank. Don't beat yourself in the ground, where you and I, I'm sure, we've both done it. I used to do it all the time. I mean, we'd puke. You know, that meant that you were training hard enough. That's absolutely foolish. It's stupid.
Well, I'm going to agree and disagree there, okay?
Okay.
99% of the time, it is foolish, okay?
Yep.
But I will tell you when I believe it is. I've said this a couple times in some of my materials. I believe that everybody ought to go through at least one cycle of like 20 rep squats or that kind of thing, or maybe a cycle or two here and there. And here's why I say that, okay? You don't know what the edge is until you go to it and over it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the thing, and this is exactly what relates to what we're talking about right here as far as intensity and stuff or whatever, okay? They recommend 35 sets for biceps.
Yeah.
Because not one of those sets is truly hard.
Yeah.
Even if you're, you know, cramping or whatever you think you're doing or whatever, that's not the effort I'm talking about.
Right.
Truly brutal, heavy upper body, I mean, not upper body, but lower body, you know, squat, deadlift, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Truly,
yep.
Honest to God, 20 rep type squats is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It's one of the most painful, one of the most suffering based things you'll ever do, but it's one of the most useful for teaching the ability to mentally endure and the ability to truly know how far you actually go. And I don't think you should do that very often or all the time. But on a short-term basis, everybody ought to go through it because it's the only way you really know where it is. And that way you kind of actually know, number one, how to really work hard, which is a skill. And number two, then you know where the line is of, okay, this is where, you know, this is where I'm, you know, one more rep and death is probably going to happen. So you got to find, in other words, you got to know something to do, whatever, because I think it's a thing you got to be careful in saying to people about, you need to leave some in the tank. Okay, well, here's what you got to remember. Most people are already actually leaving a bunch in the tank because they've never understood what it takes to empty the tank.
Yep.
So you got to understand how to empty the tank to understand what's leaving a little bit in the tank versus what the average person is doing, which is actually leaving 50% of the tank full, which is too low most of the time, unless you're on a specific program that requires that moderated level of intensity. So there's the difference. Most people actually don't know how to work hard enough.
No, they don't.
And truly crazy hard. Then you got to learn how to pull back.
Because you know what we're coming up on now with Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. What does everybody do the first of the year? They sign up into a gym because they put on 25 pounds, all right? By what? Maybe March, and that might be even too long, 95% of them are gone, if not more.
Oh, absolutely.
So the idea of what you're relating here to hard work and knowing to, you know, pushing the threshold to see how far you can go without killing yourself, basically, you're never going to see that even register with people like that because they don't feel there's a need for that. You know, to them, look, I'll give you an example today, which really blew me out. I had to have some work done on my car, and I was at a very big dealership here in Latham near my house. And I love to observe. I love to just sit and observe people. So I had my little chair there, and there was a ton of people in there. You know, everybody's got their Wi-Fi and all that BS, right? So I'm just sitting there quietly. And here's two things I noticed that, to me, is really startling in some ways. And I'm just going to leave it to the men because the women were doing the same thing with the phones. I hardly saw one male without either being on a phone or holding a phone in their hand the whole time I was there. I mean, I was like shocked, but then again, I don't go sit in a place like that at all unless I got it. Secondly, I would say the age group went from probably 25 or maybe a little older to maybe around 65. The stomachs on these guys, the first thing I was thinking was just like estrogen overload everywhere. I'm talking where these guys, their pants are coming down like an old guy kind of, you know, they've got them belt buckled tight. Their bellies are over their shirt, and they look, frankly, they look like shit, where they look like If something happened and they even had to run a quarter of a mile, probably 99% of them would have had heart failure. And I'm not exaggerating when you see this. I was shocked to see the amount of what I saw today.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, what happened to everybody?
Actually, that's funny you bring that up, and I don't, you know, it's not like we planned this ahead of time, but I actually addressed that in the book.
I know, I read that, but what do you think, man? I mean, is it now? It's just like I know that we've got to have everything at once. You know, we can't work for anything, and that's not everybody, but culture now, that's the way it's the perception of everything, because, you know. Look, I need a phone for my business and personal stuff, obviously. Yeah. But I'll tell you right now, bud, unless I call somebody or they call me, that phone's off, number one. And if it's in my pocket, it's definitely off because I still want to have my family jewels left. And it's like they're dangerous as hell. And I don't get why, especially men now, they're on the phone all the time. I can't go anywhere where there's not a guy on a phone or holding the phone.
Right. Well, now one thing I'll justify in that, okay?
Okay.
Is business has changed.
Definitely.
Business from a technological standpoint requires a handheld device, and it's going to move so fast compared to what business was that if you keep up with it, you're just out. This is not going to work. Now,
right.
On the flip side of that, I will say this: it's all symptomatic of our culture. The shift in technology has created the shift in physicality. Fact is, most of us are out of shape because we don't need to be in shape. Because the toughest thing we do is that phone.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame. It's just, you know, it's a shame that most people are missing the vitality of life that they could have. Most people are missing what they could make themselves into or you know, what they could do. Another thing is we got to realize is that, okay, like you mentioned, the people that join gyms every January and quit by February, they ain't listening to us.
No.
You know, they are not looking to, I want to squat 800 pounds, or they're not going to, it's just not there. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about the hardcore dudes who most of them own their own stuff at home, or they go to a hardcore gym, or they go, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're just not talking
about that. Well, I figure what we're dealing with here, I mean, I'm hoping eventually we're a million strong, because I know there's a million guys and gals like us out there that love this stuff, appreciate it, and plan on the longevity of it. Like I've told you before, I hope I can do this to the day they put me right in the ground. You know, I mean, this is it's such a vital piece of my life, and I'm sure it is with you. And it's not just working out. It's the whole damn concept of it's a lifelong thing where it reaches out a lot further than, you know, a weighted bar you're playing with. And the thing I've said a million times is it's hopefully we can keep spreading this, because people really don't know what they're missing with this stuff. I mean, when you can function in a way where no matter what's going on, you can still be there. You can be in the thick of things. You can, you know, you still got skin in the game. To me, that's the greatest thing. I mean, who the hell wants to walk around friggin' weak?
Right.
I mean, I can't even imagine that now. You know, not unless something happened to me where I couldn't do stuff, I'd still find a way to do something. You know, I wouldn't care if I had to do chin-ups with my nose. I'm just saying, you know what I mean, man? It's like, how could you abandon yourself? Why would you spend more money on a goddamn pizza than you would, you know, getting in shape? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't get what's happened to everybody. I really don't.
I think the fact is, most people have never. You're just talking about things that we do from a strength perspective. Have always will be an eclectic thing.
Yep.
Even 1,000 years ago. Okay. Now I think if you compare the guy 1,000 years ago, he was a ton more in shape because he didn't do anything but walk and lift stuff to live.
Yep.
But given the opportunity to not walk 15 miles a day and not have to lift farm implements or whatever else he happened to have to do, he would have. Yeah. The average guy would always, since the beginning of time, have opted to not walk and not do. They just have. That's just how humans are. To be honest with you, we're kind of inherently lazy.
Yep.
You know, that's just the reality of the deal. But here's the thing about it, okay?
Yep.
I almost look at it like this. I wish more people would do it because I truly do want to help as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I kind of look at it like this. If everybody did, everybody ain't going to do this. If everybody did it, it wouldn't be special. If everybody did it, it wouldn't carry any meaning. If everybody did it, there wouldn't be anything to it. And the reality is most humans just don't care about anything in their life to that level. That's fine. And I really don't care if you care about the same things I care about as long as you care. As long as you're passionate about something. Don't make a difference to me.
Yep.
You know what it is. I think that's the difference in life and not life. But if you're going around and got no passion for anything, period, then you got to reevaluate some things. And I think people who don't understand can't understand that the people who call us dumb don't understand that a barbell is the same as a book.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's a teaching implement. Yep. It's just a different type of teaching implement. But you know, if you would call me stupid or say I look stupid because I look like a barbarian.
Yep.
Because you're not smart enough to get past the stereotype, but you don't understand that a barbell or a physical tool of any kind is exactly the same for the mind and the body as reading a book or studying on a computer or any kind of learning.
Yep.
It's exactly the same thing. It's just a different application.
And you know something? It's like when I said before about tomorrow night, and people look at you like, what? It's like, you know something, bud? I can't wait to get out there tomorrow night in that ice cold. Mm-hmm. I haven't even got my kerosene filled or anything yet, and believe me, I could run it already, but see, I will refuse to do it till I have to do it, almost to the point where those stones are frozen to the ground. I'll never put myself in harm's way where I'd get frostbite, but I've been out in some pretty gnarly weather with either no shirt or just something with the sleeves cut off it, and you know, I'm wearing a summer t-shirt, you know, when it's like zero out, all right? When you're talking thresholds, that's a threshold I'm doing now. I'm doing mental preparation to go away next year more so than I've ever done. And I feel some of these ways I'm doing it are going to benefit me even more. And it's just a sign of toughness. It's, you know, it's me. I'm not worrying about what other people are doing or what they would say about me doing something like that. Because let's face it, you know, the vast majority are going to tell you, like you said, you're a pretty damn stupid guy. But you know something, the big joke used to be when the guys would come over here and we train in snowstorms out in the back. And because my yard, I've got, like I told you, I got a 95-foot driveway, but I've got motion lights and lights all over. So when we're out there, it's lit like daylight. And the big joke was always this. While everybody else is staying in there, staying nice and warm with their blanket on and watching TV, we're out here kicking some ass right through the snow, man. And fun as hell. I mean, the stuff's coming down. You can barely see. If you fell, you'd be all right unless, you know, the stone landed on your head because the snow was so deep. And there's another form of resistance and stuff. So, you're creative, man. You're thinking about new things. You're built, you know, just like you said, maximum functional mass, man. It's like you're going through things that normally you wouldn't do. And you're that much better for it. That's all. That's my big charge about that stuff.
Well, I think that's actually one of the concepts I like to play with is, okay, if you look at what I do in the books, it seems very out of the box, but if you look at the individual things, it's actually sort of the basic stuff for each individual thing. Now, might be a little twist on it because I in that book I really went over and above to give you my kind of personal variation on things, not – necessary. In other words, I'm going to tell everybody in the world if you want to build legs, you got to squat. But I don't do it the same way everybody else does it.
Right.
Okay, and that's fine. I enumerate very specifically the reasons as to why versus the reasons, you know. But it doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt my feelings if you decide to squat a different way as long as you squat. I don't care.
Right.
But I think one of the unique things about building functionality, and for me, functionality means really being able to use your strength for anything you want to use it for. Okay, one of the twists there is to just take basics and train them under different conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like you said, okay, the difference and everybody in the world probably realizes that your performance may be just a little bit off at times if the conditions are truly adverse.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a real test of real-world functionality. If you are crushingly off your normal game because there's a difference in environment, then you've got a problem in training somewhere. That's a great way to search through and be able to think logically through what you're doing and say, there's a real issue here. There's a real something. Something is not working the way I want it to, and therefore I need to make a logical and and monitored change. So if the idea is, okay, you and I might be good examples here of opposite. Now, I've toured a lot recently and spent a lot of time in the cold, so it doesn't affect me like it used to.
Okay.
That's one of the things. But I'm the opposite here, okay? Where I live, it's 90 degrees plus with 90% humidity 9 months of the year.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's brutal.
I spend a lot of days training where in heat that would really be damaging to most people.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the intelligent part about going cold or hot. Be smart about taking care of yourself, but be okay with challenging yourself for things not being normal or comfortable or different. So most people train, if they live in a hot or a cold environment, inside in a controlled temperature. So even if it's cold outside, it's still 70 degrees in the gym. Or even if it's 100 outside, it's still 70 degrees in the gym because they run the air or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If your performance falls apart because it's too hot, too cold, too rainy, too this, too that, whatever, too early, too late, not quite enough sleep, or just a one or two meals shy or whatever.
Right.
And really, something is falsely supporting your strength. It's not as usable as you want. It's a great challenge and a great governor and a great easy way to judge whether you're truly functional.
Right. Totally. No, I agree totally with that. And like I down there, that stuff would kill me until I got used to it.
Oh, there's the thing too. There's the other thing about that. Okay, you might expect that, and don't make a drastic change. If you make some huge change, if you're used to, you're used to lifting in 30 to 40 degrees all the time,
yes,
or fairly regularly, and you came down here and it was 105, you might pretty much fall apart after about the first 10 or 15 minutes because the heat would be incredibly oppressive, and that's okay. That's not necessarily a signal that your whole world is wrong or
no.
It's just a signal that's another variable that you can learn to adapt to.
Correct.
A period of time. So, be intelligent about all the stuff. Be intelligent about all the stuff that you do, and, don't – like I said in the beginning, we make mountains out of molehills. Even what I just said of testing yourself with unique situations, don't fall apart and rearrange your whole world and shave your head and become a monk because – you had to quit your job. I'm sorry. Oh man, my squat was 50 pounds off today because it was 50 pounds. I gotta stop. I must quit my job and do the whole, relax. Yeah. But take things in stride and do legitimate, honest evaluations. If on a regular basis you can't for some reason get used to it, or you're always off by a huge margin, not just a little bit, then you got a real issue there. That's not. You know what I'm saying? That's not.
It's not what you got. There's more. Right. There's more going on than just the physical deal with you now.
Yeah.
We know that there's obviously some kind of mental trip up you that you got to fix there too, because, I don't care who you are. If you've been doing this stuff for a long time, if I came down and lived in Florida where you are, right, moved down there, obviously it's going to be a little bit of a learning experience. Now, it gets very hot up here, but not Florida, but. I mean, we've had weather where they said there was more humidity here up in New York than there was down where you guys are. I've lifted in that stuff. Do I like lifting in it? Not really. I mean, I'm more of a cold weather animal. I could probably do very well anywhere in the world in the cold. Now, does that mean I'd want it all the time? I couldn't really answer. Probably not. I like the sunshine. The sunshine's good for you, all that. But if I had my choice and you said to me, you got 3 months to go train anywhere you want. Where do you want to go? 90 degrees, or you want to go, say, 25 every day? When you get sun, I'd go with the 25.
Right. Right.
Period. That's just my – that's for some reason, whatever that does to me mentally too, it seems to really trigger me to train – I won't say it makes me train – probably it does make me train harder. I like the robust feel. I like when you take a deep breath, man, that cold – fills your lungs like that. And something, to be honest with you, I like to see the smoke coming off me and out my nose when I'm moving.
Right.
It just reminds you like a gladiator, man.
Right.
So, no, that's I agree, totally. I mean, you're going to have to make some changes to basically get to where you got to get and be acclimated with a new environment.
Absolutely. And you got to be intelligent about evaluating along the way. So, like, that's one of the things I really try to stress is, hey, let's answer some questions about what's functional to you. Yep. What do you decide? Because I like to say this, if I were a better marketer, I would write to people and tell you, shut up and do what I tell you.
Yeah. And they'd listen to you, man.
But it's not honest.
No, it's not.
There are occasions when people are asking too many questions that don't actually help them that I will just say, hey, don't ask any more questions. Just do what I'm telling you and don't do it. Because there's a point of mental paralysis and physical, you're just beating around the bush and overthinking things and doing nothing. But here's what I mean by that, okay? I can give you what it takes to get you bigger. It's actually fairly simple. But I can't make the recipe exactly like you like it unless you can answer some questions honestly for yourself. Yep. Unless you can say, okay, this is what I can lift, this is what I want to be able to lift, and here's the difference, and how do I bridge that gap? Mm-hmm. Or this is how big I am, and this is how big I want to be. Or how lean I actually am and how lean I actually want to be, or how fast, or how enduring, or how tough, or whatever. Yep. And this is the honest evaluation of that, or a big one that we skip a lot of times, especially in talking about mass, is how healthy I am, and how do I want to go from there? How do I proceed to make all those things better? And then you got to make some honest answers, like what am I giving up? For instance, okay, there was a time when I sacrificed some health to be big, you know.
And that's what I was going to ask you. When you were in the mid threes, all right? Now, when you hit a 1,000-pound squat, where were you around, 350?
Oh, no, I was bigger than that. I was probably 375, 385.
Were you really? I didn't think that. Wow, I didn't know that.
I don't think I'm looking back at it now, I was pretty doggone big. It's hard to say because, you know, I think I've told this before. At that time, you know, it was hard to get a scale that was in any way accurate, so I was weighing every few months. A junkyard scale that happened to be digital and accurate. So, but other than that, this ain't like the average scale just walking around goes up to 400 pounds.
Did you feel at that point, bud, when you're hitting all those big numbers? I mean, sometimes things can balance for a while. How did you feel at that weight?
Well, now, okay, I was actually fine. But
yeah.
Let me quantify that. I felt fine, but I didn't know I could feel better. Does that make sense?
Okay.
In other words, I didn't feel any issues from it at that time, really, period, at all.
Yes.
However, when I changed and got into really tremendous aerobic shape, I noticed that, I didn't feel bad, but I feel so much better.
Yeah.
That, you know, but you got to take into account, okay, at the time I did that lift, I was about 30 years old. So I'm in the, I had been big my whole life. I've been carrying a huge amount of mass, but I hadn't carried it so long to incur a huge amount of metabolic damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and I was strong and athletic and flexible at the same time. So, had I done what a lot of lifters do, which is get huge, 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 you know, 350, 400 pounds, but I'm stiff and I can't move and I'm not athletic and I don't have any endurance. Then, yeah, that would have been a huge problem. I was doing enough of that stuff at that point to still be very, very functional in the real world, still be able to do things. However, I found a whole nother thing since that time. I'm twice the functional ability that I have today, even though I'm not quite as big. And I actually would say with the exception of about two or three particular lifts, I'm – as strong and in some things actually 100% stronger than I was at, you know, 350 to 400 pounds.
Well, at that weight, I mean, you know, I don't know. And I think this all goes to what we're talking about with the new book. What was it specifically you felt you had to do? Why did you start dropping the weight? I know you wanted to do that squat. Had you gotten to the point where you felt maybe, I've done what I want to do now, you know, I want to start coming down, or was it just something that happened, you know, something you read, whatever it was, what got you where you wanted to start coming down the way you did? And you came down slow, I know, but what was it mainly?
Well, it was a combination of things. It was a combination of a couple of things that I think, you know, and everybody, like everything you do in life is something that changes your thoughts, everybody has that moment of an experience that radically changes what you think. You know, like for instance, I'll track you through my whole development of this thing here, okay?
Sure, I want to hear.
I've always been fascinated with strength. Started as a kid, started playing football, and I'm a young kid. I was always one of the youngest kids in my grade, so I'm always playing against older kids, even though I was big.
Yeah.
And so always wanted to be as strong or stronger than the bigger, older kids. So I start lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
And I start to, I get into powerlifting, and then I get obsessed with strength and start going as hard as I can and training all the time. But then I get an idea, you know, then I spend a few days working with some guys that were cousins of mine that did iron work.
Yeah.
And I knew I was stronger than all of them, but I wasn't better at lifting iron than they were because it was awkward and I didn't know the difference. Okay. And I didn't have the same kind of strength. It wasn't transferring like I wanted. So that's a game changer for me. That loads me up later to start doing strongman stuff because I find the key truly getting functional real world strength. Okay.
Yep.
And then I go later on and start doing some throwing. And I find that I'm big and strong. In fact, I'm probably the strongest guy walking around on this throwing field. I'm not throwing any further because I'm not quite as fast. Or I'm actually a little too big to be fast or whatever. I mean, and I'm very fast for my size at that time, but I'm at a size at that time that is so big, it's actually handicapping where I'm at with that. And plus, I also learned the importance of really, really technique. And then I decide I lose my mind for a while, and I'm gonna keep powerlifting, and I'm going to keep strongman, because I'm never going to stop those things. But I decided I'm going to do a little UFC. I'm going to fight. I'm going to do some ultimate fighting.
Mm-hmm.
This is back in the early days when it was kind of Wild West and the rules were weird and it was crazy. You know, it was really, really the early, early days of the UFC stuff, like first couple of UFCs kind of time.
And,
I learned very quickly that, man, I'm stronger than just about anybody here except after about 2 minutes. Then I'm like dead.
Guessed.
And it changes my entire idea on what the need for endurance for real world applicability, because you can be the strongest cat on the planet. You're gassed, you'll be it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're done. You're kidding.
So that changes my whole deal. So after a while, I go back and forth, and I float through all those things, and that changes my whole thing. And that really – I even went through a period where I really jacked endurance up, and I was in great shape even when I was doing squat 1,000 pounds. I also noticed that I decided that, listen, for right now, I'm going to hammer this one goal. This has been a goal my whole life. Since I was 15 or 16 years old, that was about the time that Fred Hatfield and a couple of those guys broke the 1,000-pound squat barrier.
Yep.
And I saw it, and I'm like, this guy can do it. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, but I don't know at the time because I'm 15 years old, it's going to take me the next 16 years. You know, it's going to take me the next
run. Yeah.
And so, but along the way, okay, is the development of powerlifting where there's all these suits and all this stuff. And I was in the normal early suit stuff and then almost not the real second generation, but the very beginning of it. And along the way, I started doing strongman, and I see, you know what? Those things aren't really helpful. They don't do – other than for a barbell lift, that doesn't help me at all. That's not really making me strong in the real world. So I go back to completely raw, go to all bottom position stuff. I go to doing things the hardest way I can do possible, which is my idea on how to gain strength and size and stuff today, okay? So at that time, I was hammering the food and hammering the squats, and I'm still hammering the squats, and I'm just hitting the food with a lot smaller hammer these days. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. I realize that I'm going to do this drug-free. I'm not going to use any supportive gear except the belt, and to do that, I need to be just as big as possible. And I really wasn't purposely over-super gaining weight. I was just squatting so much, so heavy, so often that it was putting weight on me, and I was just eating whatever I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, you know, and so my appetite kept growing as I got bigger, and I kept gaining weight. I kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you got to remember, okay, I was always a big kid, but I had a car accident as a little kid, made me kind of fat because I spent a bunch of years in a body cast and relearned to walk and all that stuff. And so I never was able to take that body fat off. So at 200, my first powerlifting meet, I was 14 years old, was 230 pounds.
Wow.
16 years later, I hit my all-time peak in squats of 1,000 pounds. At about 385 pounds. So I gained approximately 150 pounds of body weight over a 16-year period to accomplish that lift.
Yep.
Okay? Now, along the way, I accomplished a bunch of other lifts and got super strong at as everything I could put my hands – everything I could think of to learn to do.
Yep.
Okay? Or, you know, get anybody to teach me or whatever. All right?
Yep.
So I hit that goal, and then I'm kind of like, okay, now what? Because it's a lifetime goal.
Yep.
I mean, anybody who's ever seen the footage of that squat, especially if you don't see the short footage, if you see the real long footage, that I hit that squat and then like freak, I start screaming. I start screaming. I mean, and people are like, "Why would you do that over a quote unquote gym PR or whatever?" here's what you got to look at. I don't even care about competition anymore. It's awesome when you want to do it. It's a great learning experience. I competed 50 or 60 times in the course of my strength career. But I don't care anymore. I'm satisfying my own mind with what I believe is the right thing to do. And I had that goal for 16 years.
That's right. And you made it.
So that was the accomplishment of a 16-year working cycle to get there. So, okay, and it actually, I sound hilariously funny because my, I had just squatted that weight, my voice cracked, and I'm screaming, but it doesn't, it sounds like a little girl.
Yeah, I heard you screaming. Yeah.
But it's because my, I literally had taken all the air out of my body, and my voice, and my throat is just clenched and cracked, and it's, instead of coming out like, you know, instead of
sounding like, rah, like that. Yeah,
it's, and my voice cracked, I'm like, ah, sounds hilarious. But you don't understand, man, it was the, you know, if you worked as hard as you could possibly work for 16 years to accomplish something and then did it, and you didn't want to jump up and down and scream, something.
I think just, something's wrong there.
So hit that. I'm 385 pounds.
Yep.
And I hang out there for a little while, and I do a bunch of other strength feats, and I train some other stuff. And eventually I get the idea of, okay, now what? Because I don't want to go through what it takes to get, you know, there again. I don't want to do – and then I begin to see people who are my size have some ridiculously stupid health problems.
Yeah.
And I see some family members who have, you know, heart surgery and diabetes and stuff purely because they won't lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide, you know what, this is stupid. This is just absolutely stupid. Why would I do this? And then I here's what I also find. For me, training is about accomplishing a goal.
Right.
So I had to connect that to something. So every bit of this training, even the training I do now, is the end result of the metamorphosis of the last 4 years after losing the weight. So I had to connect that to a goal. So I connected to an endurance goal. So I say, all right, I'm still going to push the heavy lifts. I'm still going to keep records of all that. But I'm going to stick in the forefront right now an endurance goal. And that's going to be the thing I hammer. And I'm going to keep a real legitimate empirical idea of what's going on. I'm going to know how many reps I can do, how fast. And I'm gonna learn, and I'm gonna see how my heart rate drops, and what where my real health, where my real goals are there, how my body fat responds. That's gonna be my goal. And what I'm doing right now is 4 years post to losing 100 pounds, 5 years actually post to losing 100 pounds, and it's the metamorphosis of that whole thing of how do I now okay, so now I'm at the weight I want to be at. If I what do I want to do if I want to get a little leaner, or what do I do if I want to get a little more muscle, or what do I do if I want to max my total strength end out here, or what if I want to do. I want to have all of this 100% together. So I want to be, you know, this is directly in the book. I want to be the guy who can squat 800 pounds and still snatch a kettlebell for 300 reps in 10 minutes and lift a 400-pound stone and ride a bike 100 miles and, you know, and do some ninja-looking move or whatever. Or what. And here's the thing. You absolutely can be those things. You just got to do it smart. You be intelligent about that. And that is about you know why most people don't get the actual – mass that they are want, and they don't get the actual functional ability.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually train the stuff it gets. If you do the thing, you'll get the result. But here's the thing: so you got to learn to train hard. You got to eat enough food to support mass. So one way or another, you got to get that food in. But okay, like I said, nutrition is like the worst argument field in the world. Okay.
Yep.
It's worse than politics and religion. People, you know, shoot each other over how many carbs or how much protein. I say relax and eat food that is real food, and if you need to eat less to drop some pounds or if you need to eat more to put some more on, get plenty of protein and don't worry about it, okay?
Definitely.
And there's the kind of secret to long-term real nutrition that is not going to drive you nuts.
And you know what it is? It's just like when we talk about the basic lifts, you need those.
Yeah.
Simplicity, they call it. Why do you have – but see, this is all part of this whole game. It's like – you know, like you're saying, if I wanted to be a real marketer, I could really go to town. Well, yeah, that's all well and good, but you're doing the honest thing where you're not leading people down. And the idea is to lead people down a path where they're going to keep buying something from you again. And that's fine if they do it on a legitimate thing. But when people are just leading you by the nose saying, okay, well, you can't only have this many carbs or you need this much protein. And if you go over that, you're going to have this. So it's basically it's like a swinging door, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And this is why I think, well, I differentiate between physical culture and what's going on out in the gym world, I'll call it. To me, it's just like a rat race, an assembly line. People come, they got these big aspirations, they pump you up, they take your money. Maybe within 2 or 3 weeks, you'll be lucky if they even say hello to you that these people are putting you through these training regimes that are totally ridiculous. They're not ever going to get you anywhere, and this is why a lot of this has the bad stigma it does, because many of people went in maybe with the right idea, but they came out with nothing.
Right.
And either they came out the same or they came out injured, and that was the end of them. And that's why when you're putting out downloads or books of this nature, this takes you not only through what you've done the last, well, since, you know, I've been following you obviously since the 1,000-pound squat. I mean, that's the first book I ever got from you, all right? Right. But you've got a library of, you know, from 385, what are you around now? 290, maybe 285. Okay. But in between there is all these things that you've done. In the book, you know, though I haven't read the whole thing, and I will, you got chapter after chapter of the ways to do things, how you've broken things down, and it's really a blueprint for somebody. You know, if they don't know, obviously they can contact you, or maybe there's somebody that does some stuff similar in some avenue of it. You got somebody that can show you, but you're much better investing in yourself this way than going and pissing your money off in whatever gym you want to call it. I don't even know what the hell's out there anymore, and I don't care.
Well,
so
you're not gonna find, if you find a once in a while you find a mainstream joint that has. Here's the thing: you're gonna find an unusual place once in a while who happens to have some hardcore people.
Yep.
If you want to find a gym, you're better off to look underground and look for the guys who are really doing the hardcore thing. One of the best blessings of my life is the fact that the first gym I walked into happened to be filled with powerlifters.
Yeah, exactly.
Happened to be a mile from my house. And two days in, they said, "Hey, dude, why don't you come work out with us?" And they said, "We're going to do a contest in 6 months. Why don't you get ready for it?" I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But here's what I learned, okay? And to some extent, I hugely, even today, this is now 26 years later, okay? I still follow a lot of the original dictums that I do. I still, you know, we did squats, presses, and pulls. We did a good warm-up, and then we did one to two really heavy hard sets per exercise most of the time.
Yep.
It mixed in some higher volume here and there. And this is the blueprint I'm giving you right now, and I'm giving you the glossed over points. But that's how I do things today. Now, I will give you some different options that I've experimented with because I learned some awesome things, okay? My major blueprint breaks down three ways. I either do a full body routine, okay, where I do squats, presses, pulls all together. And when I do that, I almost always use a 10-day cycle turnaround because I believe that provides the greatest recovery, okay? Mm-hmm. And the rest of my training days are broken down by the specific physical ability I want to build.
Mm-hmm.
So the first day of my cycle is max heavy squats, presses, and pulls. The next day might be an aerobic day. The next day might be a repetition day where I do some higher reps on those things. The next day after that might be explosive work.
Yep.
Okay, the next day, and I'm just giving you the off the top of my head. This is all, you know, very specifically written in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing with that. You don't get what you don't train for. Now, you do and you don't, and here's what I mean. If you squat heavy, you'll be able to do all the crazy heavy leg extensions you want, as heavy as you want, and you can scare the people in the gym doing that. But if you do heavy leg extensions, it's not going to make you squat heavy. You got to pick the big dog exercise.
Yep.
However, here's where it transfers and it don't transfer. You squat heavy all the time, you'll be a pretty decent jumper.
Yep.
But you won't be as good a jumper as if you squatted heavy and did some jumps on a regular basis.
Yep.
If you do squats and deadlifts, you'll probably be kind of okay at lifting stones. But you won't be as good a stone lifter, or you won't have the kind of strength that stones give you if you don't do it on a regular basis.
Exactly.
But here's the thing that's even more cool about that. They play back and forth. The better you get at stones, the better you get at squats and deadlifts. The better you get at squats and deadlifts, the better you'll get at stones. The more total mass you'll build because you're constantly working muscle there all together. Now, I either break it down that way or sometimes, depending on how I feel like doing it, and I'll be honest with you about this, and this is going to be hard for a lot of people to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone to a 100% instinctive training style.
Okay.
Okay. Meaning, I don't do things I rarely do things the same way all the time, ever, twice, now. But that doesn't mean I've gone through the complete chaos of like muscle confusion or the way CrossFit programs things, okay?
Right.
That doesn't mean that, that means I'm always still doing the heavy lift, but I'm working them in slightly different variations, but not enough to throw off the fact that I'm educating the muscle with that lift, and I'm constantly gaining the right perspective of and the right efficiency. So I either break it down full body by the capability I want to use, or I'll break it down by body part, and then usually use multiple capabilities in the same time. So let me give you an idea what I mean by that. Okay, I might be doing squats on that day, but I'll just do nothing but squats. But if I do nothing but squats, I'll probably do some heavy squats. I'll back off and maybe change exercises, get a few reps. I'll do a little jumping and then some sled pulling. So I've accomplished explosive work. I've accomplished repetitions. I've accomplished heavy work. I've accomplished endurance, all in the same thing, all training the same basic area of the body. And then the next day might be like presses, and I'll do some explosive push-ups, so that's speed and that kind of thing. I'll do some pressing, either like one arm or barbell pressing, or sometimes a heavy bodyweight exercise, but I'm going to do some low and high reps there. And so you see what I mean? I'm going to get multiple different things there as I go. But the big thing we neglect in making all this functional in the real world is we don't do the odd – well, you do. And a lot of the guys listening to this, but the people in the real world, they don't do the things that transfer outside the gym.
Right.
The things that take your strength into different ways of expressing it, like lifting an odd object or like doing things – like I've gotten into doing some stuff that actually is, a lot of people are going to call silly, okay? First of all, I wouldn't call it silly if I were you, if you were standing within arm's reach of me, but okay, I'm kidding. I can take a joke, no big deal, but here's what I mean. I'm going to do some stuff that people are going to say, that's not going to transfer directly to my bench press.
Okay,
first of all, I don't care. I want to be able to do things in the real world that are totally unique, because the real world is going to give you things that are totally unique, okay? I'm going to lift some stuff once in a while that's in a completely different pattern than you will ever do. I'm going to pick up dumbbells and wave them around in completely unique shapes. And it's not going to transfer directly to your bicep peak or to your, you know, to how swole your chest looks.
Yep.
But it's going to transfer into my ability to actually manipulate objects when I'm outside of a gym, into how strong I actually am and how much muscle I actually carry, in a fact that maybe I'm changing a tire or I'm carrying a loved one or I'm you know, anything that you might, you know, fighting a polar bear if I come up to visit you.
Right,
or,
right.
You see what I mean?
Or what, I got you. Yeah.
Now, on the flip side, while it might not transfer directly to bicep peak or, you know, your most muscular pose in a direct manner, it does transfer indirectly, because even those things, well, I usually call them 3D strength now, okay? Even those things, you know what? That's still training your tendons, your ligaments, your joints. It's setting a subground for the other part of your strength to flow together and to get bigger. So then you eventually do end up with a bigger chest and bigger biceps or whatever it is you want to get big. And they're going to say the same thing when you know, why would you mess around with those light kettlebells and do thousands of reps? Because when I do that, my ability to pump blood and the ability of my heart goes up through the roof. Therefore, when I squat or when I do bicep curls, my ability to pump blood to the bicep, my ability to not get tired while I'm doing it, and therefore recover and grow muscle faster, builds together.
And you remember what I said in the beginning with those guys at the car lot? You get to move a quarter of a mile, and you're not gassed, and you feel okay.
Yep.
That's the thing that matters, man. It's like it's great to be able to be super strong and powerful, and who the hell doesn't like feeling that way? Anybody that tell me no, they're full of crap. But you know what? When you're out of breath, when you got to bend over to tie your sneaker, that's when you got to start answering the bell right there, because you're not going to do that for year after year after year. So, sooner or later, something is going to go, whether it's your heart or you end up having blood pressure, diet, all the things that are in the Western world now, they're so prevalent. And that's the whole thing of what you're doing, which is so good for everybody to hear, because you can it's not just lifting heavy. It's have the whole gambit, you know, be able to move, be able to run a block, you know, without falling down dead. You know, be able to unload the groceries out of your car. You got 10 bags. They're all varying, you know, weights and stuff. You know, being able to carry two or three jugs of water in by one, with your one hand. I like to take the three of them, the gallon jugs, and grab them in my hand and just carry them like a farmer's walk when I come in from the store. I go and buy like half a dozen. So I'll have three in each hand, walk them in, walk five sets of stairs, come in my porch, I'm in my living room, I go put them downstairs where they belong. Just shit like that. I love playing around like stuff like that. See how much strength you got, you know?
Well, and there's the thing. We lose, in muscle building, we lose the forest from the trees, so to speak. It's so obsessed with what we can curl or what we can squat, we don't see what we can do outside of that.
Right.
And here's the thing, we really, even outside of that, when we're coming from a muscular perspective, and I come from that perspective, okay?
Yep.
We
yep.
still always end up a little bit pulled back from the real world, okay? And we all end always end up a little bit undermining other types of training or underutilizing the possibilities of what there is there, okay? And so you talk about, you know, I want to do this till I'm dead. Well, here's the secret to that, or one of the secrets, okay?
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff to explore. Don't have to do the same thing the same way every time, all the time. So, you know, now that doesn't mean you should do, you know, muscle confusion. Not saying that. Okay.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, okay, I want to do things as crazy over the course of my lifetime, and I want to explore the possibilities over the course of my lifetime that the human body could do. I want to be able to walk up a mountain that's 14 or 15,000 foot high. Yep. I want to be, and I want to be able to do that, and I also want to be able to squat at 800 pounds. And they're not mutually exclusive.
Right.
Okay? It's just putting it together in the right amounts so they don't interfere with each other. So, okay, I'm going to give you the opposite end of perspective of that. I just said you should. I'm so enjoying this these days. Get outside the freaking gym. Walk around.
Yep.
Do some stuff that – even get outside of lifting weights. Do some stuff that's different and see how far you can go or how cool there is the things to watch and look at and can you climb and do – there's a million things to do, man. The body and the million ways that it can, is able to do. But now here's the perspective. If you run 15 miles a day every day, it probably is going to detract from your squat a little bit, at least.
Yep.
Maybe more than a little bit. But if you run 15 miles once a week, walk it or whatever, you know, most of us, like guys like Alex Vieta, who is awesome, get away and they do some amazing things. Alex is 230-something pounds. With a 700-pound squat and a 4-minute and 20-second mile, and
old,
you know, the guy's insane, okay, and insanely smart about how he trains. And if you track what he does, what I do, it's actually kind of similar because we learned that bare minimums of high intensity are the things that pay off. Okay, and here's what I meant: same dude who really his specialty is powerlifting and then running and triathlon stuff together. I suck at running; have always sucked at it. Just never. I mean, I'm gonna be flat honest with you, but I'm obsessed these days with being able to cover long distances, even if it's not running, because I think it's great for the human body. Okay, and we, you know, most of us are afraid to walk to the mailbox because we're afraid we'll lose a quarter of an inch off our thighs.
And that's right too. I was going to say that.
I know you know guys who are like that. Oh no, dude, I can't get the mail today. I can't take the garbage out. Dude, I got to squat late. That is ludicrous, and it's out of the question of what we need to do. You know, if you want to call in to work because you got to squat today. Sorry, that ain't gonna, you know.
Yeah, it's like the typical thing. I remember some of my friends, they wouldn't mow the lawn because they had to lift later.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Well, it's going to take away from my lift. And I was like, a lawnmower? I was like, holy God, it's gotten really bad.
But we've gone too far. We've taken the muscle building thing too far. And here's the thing with that. I believe, and I've tried to be a living example of this, that, okay, I can have the strength and the muscle size and, you know, hopefully getting to the leaner size as well of the guy who is afraid to mow his lawn, but not have that fear or that, or not lack the ability to go mow the lawn, then squat later or go, you know what I'm saying? I think there's being able to really use real life and be able to really do things in real life and still keep some, and still be the guy who intimidates the people in gym and not on purpose, but you know what I'm saying? The guy who nonchalantly is lifting things that most people are, you know, dying to lift because you've actually done the training, you've stayed with it for a long period of time, you've figured out the things that work, you learn how to add things together in a way that really does add up in the real world, and you get past all the fear. You get past the fear of my squat will fall apart if I don't get in shape. Yep. Well, here's the thing, or if I do something that, you know, is going to take a half a second of endurance. The deal with that is you are not in shape.
Right.
You're not. And reality is, once you get past the little bit of bubble of getting adapted to being in shape, actually find you're stronger when you are in shape versus when you totally neglect all this other stuff. And then that opens the door with, wow, what can I really do with this stuff? Because you know what I feel like we do as lifters a lot of times?
Yeah.
We buy a $50,000 hot rod.
Yep.
And we only take it out once a year to show it.
I'm one of those guys, bud.
You know what I'm saying? And there's what I mean, okay?
Okay.
Here's with the car analogy of that. If you only show your strength or only test it or only play with it at a power meet twice a year versus, okay, here's what I'm trying to build with you with the analogy of this. I want to give you that $50,000 hot rod body that gets such good gas mileage you can drive it to work every day.
Absolutely.
And it does so well in the mud, you're not afraid to take it off-road. Or you're not afraid – you know what I'm saying? I don't want, I want that power without the fragility.
But, you know, and there's one thing, too, with this whole thing. Is this, when you start seeing these things happening, it changes you mentally. And that's the big thing right there, because you're finally realizing now I'm more than just the sum of going out and doing barbell work, which to me is still the basis of everything we do. But
it absolutely is. You know, that's the exercises I recommend for size are almost exclusively barbell and dumbbell, or certainly some very, very heavy kettlebell stuff.
Well, what I'm doing now, I mean, Sunday officially I kick off for Iceland, and it'll probably be mostly pulling out of the rack and stuff, but I'm going to do a little thing where I'm going to really probably gravitate mostly, I have never done this before, to the stone, and I'm going to probably pretty much use a dead stop squat for quite a while. I'm just going to build those two together. I've never done it like this before. And of course, I'll do the smaller stuff too on other days.
Right.
But I'm going to try this, and I'm going to use the squat too as a conditioner in a different way I've ever done it. This ought to be pretty interesting. I'm going to try it for probably the first 10 weeks. I just want to see what happens with everything, because this is going to be different from how I usually train the stone to get ready to go.
Well, that's ought to be interesting. I'd be interested to hear about this.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot different, man. And the only reason why I'm doing this is because of we're just waiting to see monetarily with some things right now, you know, because that's a very expensive trip, and I'm probably not going to go at least till midsummer, because I've got till I wouldn't go right up to Labor Day, because the places I want to stay, I got to talk to Bill Crawford this week, who I went with in 2008. I want to get a lot closer to Húsafell this time. I don't want to do the 2.5 hour ride from Reykjavik. Yeah. It's too much, man. When you're trying to concentrate for something of that level, I just don't want to do it this time. So I want to be within a half hour to an hour's drive there. It'd be better if it was even closer. I'm looking at a place right now in Húsafell. I don't know how far it is, but it can't be very far from the goat pen. I'd love to find somewhere where I could literally take a 10-minute walk. I'm there and I'm ready to go. I don't want any of this extreme travel, because, you know, we got lost last time. And you know what I mean? Even when you got a map and they're mapping everything out, a lot of the shit there is, like, desolate, and it's all over the place. And every damn gas station looks like the other one, where you got to make a right turn, and it's like, it sucked. You know what I mean, basically?
Right.
So, you know, it's just like with everything, like you're talking about your book and the MP4, it's like you learn a little bit every time you go and try to get real good with your trade.
Mm.
And, you know, same way going and lifting famous stones or whatever. You go maybe 1, 2, 3 times. Guess what? You learn the things you got to do that are going to make the trip better, and hopefully it's going to get you where you need to get to complete that whole journey there. So, you know, that's how I look at it, bud.
Absolutely.
You know, we're like near the end. Is there anything you want to let's plug everything, or if you got something else you want to add, that's fine too.
Sure. Well, I think we've laid out, you know, I've tried to give really good ideas on what we're training, and there's training in this book for for specifically for size, but also for endurance, for flexibility, yep. agility, mobility, speed. There's specific exercises in there. Now here's what I want people to understand. I gave you very specific exercises for size, and I gave you some ideas and some very specific stuff for other strength, but I did not give you every possible option. The book's 195 pages. It's not a joke. But
yeah.
At the same time, there's 50 ways to do push-ups. I didn't put every 50 push-ups in the book. You know what I'm saying? I gave you the idea because the concept is better than the specifics. So I gave you every part there that you can possibly need without yep. overcomplicating things. I try to make it as simple as possible.
Yep.
Okay? Give you a real blueprint that you can use for a long period of time to do this. And, we're getting some really great feedback. A guy who I really respect today told me he thought it was a game changer, which it was a huge, huge compliment to
yep.
me. This is the first book we've offered that you can get the ebook right now.
Okay.
And, but we've the first book we've offered in hard copy, not hardback, obviously, but, paperback, first book we've offered in print copy in a mm-hmm. couple of years.
Yep.
So, first brand new one. So,
yep.
I'd be very happy with that. And that we finally be able to get that worked out. Cause boy, is that a hassle.
Yeah.
And
are you, what I wanted to ask you too, all the older books that I've got, we're talking way back.
Right.
Are those, I haven't gone out to the site. That's my fault. Are they all printable again? I mean, I know you had trouble at one time, but can you get all those?
Printers are so full of crap as far as how bad they lie to you about the cost, but we finally found yep. people who are straight. So yeah,
yep.
now you can get
okay.
any book on my site. You can get it in the ebook version or in the print version.
And give your website and everything. I want you to put everything out there.
www.strongerman.com. And you can obviously get me on Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram or anywhere there and just look under my name, Bud Jeffries.
Do you have an email address too, Bud, or can they get that right through the site?
Right through strongerman.com.
Okay, beautiful. Yep.
And you can go right there with that. That's an easy way to contact us. And the book is still on pre-sale pricing, so you can still get it for
okay.
cheap right now. Although, I'm trying to make things as affordable as possible because the economy is tough for everybody, man.
Yeah, I know.
And so we're gonna hold that as long as we can before we bump the price up. But I wouldn't wait around a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good I'm very happy with it. I think we've got
it's a good read. I mean, I'm looking forward to reading the rest of this now. But like I said, anybody that wants to learn some stuff, this thing is chock full, man. This is the stuff that I like to reread and reread and reread. That's when it's a good book.
Good.
Period.
Good.
And I do that with a lot of the older stuff I've got, whether it's yours or Brooks's or whoever it is I've got laying here. I mean, I'm looking at a host of old Iron Man magazines in front of me. I mean, even sometimes before a show starts, I was doing where I was pulling quotes out of stuff these guys were saying. I mean, it's just I don't know. Maybe it was just the time. These guys could think, man. Think. And I love just to hear just a basic quote. And it's like, ding, it just registers with you. And I don't know. I look at things more. I like the simplistic things of life a lot more. As they say, it's the little things that kill. So, go out and enjoy the big things and have some fun,
Absolutely.
That's all. You got everything out?
Yeah, I think we're good, man.
Okay, well.
Well, hold on. Let me say this, too.
Okay.
If as a kind of a special deal or whatever right now, I forgot about this, but we have two. Right now we have two downloads. Video downloads that you can buy in a very cheap package with this, and that's the original DVD on how to on this training on maximum functional mass,
yep.
and then the arm specialization DVD on building big arms, which is Herculean arms, which is all this same training but applied to arm training, and then in the next week or so we'll have actually another full DVD on the rest of how to put the body training together with maximum functional mass. And they all run at least an hour each. So I'm giving you live training and every bit of knowledge I can impart to you on this. And just tell you that I don't put on anything about this. I'll tell you the flat truth about everything I do.
Yep. No, I know. What I'll do for you too, as a gift to you is I will put this podcast up tomorrow.
Oh man. Thanks. I appreciate that.
And we'll get this thing pushed out there, And off the air, I want to talk to you about what we were talking about with the stuff with motivation. You'll have to give me a couple things, but we'll talk in a minute about that. So this is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're brought to you by Fiorello. We're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. Motivation Muscle is on its own. That's www.motivationandmuscle.com. We're on Stitcher and iTunes, and I ask everybody, please go out to iTunes and give us some comments. Let's get this thing out here more and more, because this is the idea to help everybody. You know, I got a thing today, Bud, from John Johnson, who's been on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great guy. And he says to me today, he says, I'm listening to some of these podcasts of yours. And he goes, I can't wait to go out and lift. I'm like so fired up. And, you know, I'm going to have him and his wife on in January.
Oh, nice. They're going too. Good.
Yeah, they're great people, man. And the thing is now, knock on wood, I'm having a lot of people inquiring about coming on the show. Steve Jack is going to be coming on the show soon.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm psyched about, because, I mean, he's the guy that fired everybody up for Ahuskafel. I mean,
oh, yeah.
In 2004, and he's a great guy, and I can't wait to talk to him. And I'll call, like I said, Bill Crawford and get him on, because I don't know how he found us. I had sent him something. And he goes, you sound great. He goes, I found a show with you and Brooks Kubik. I just want to tell you, great job. I was like, so I can't wait to talk to him, because I want to find out where they're all getting this. But
awesome. Well,
to finish,
say hey to Steve and Bill for me, okay? Because
absolutely, man,
awesome.
Absolutely. So I'm trying to think. All right, so you can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. We're on Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. So that's probably pretty much it. All I can say is we are the gatekeepers of physical culture, man. That's what it's all about. And I want to thank everybody that's been so kind to me and kind to the people on here, you know, naming names now directly of, you know, Bud's been named. There's multiple ones that have been named, and I couldn't be happier. And like I told you, Bud, it's the thing. This is what we're getting all the time now. You know, it's funny as hell. One guy especially is always calling us all crazy son of a bitches, and it's fun. And he doesn't mean it in a bad way either, right? He's like, I love it, you guys. It's like we're all in a room, and we're all exchanging ideas, and that was always the concept of the show that I always wanted to get across, that there's nobody here that's full of shit. Anybody that's telling you stuff has done it. Again, we show tonight with your courses, anything you and I have talked about in the past. So, Bud, thanks for being on the show. And, you know, we'll see you again in 2 weeks for sure.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So for Bud Jeffries, this is Eric Fiorello. You know, have a good week. Go out and pound something really hard. Go lift something heavy, you know. Be happy, man. Go enjoy life. Don't be a friggin' lemon head. Don't be sour. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Great.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.